Hey, this is Beth from the Gun Blog Variety Cast, reminding y'all that this podcast is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the other great podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
What do you think of the band High Stepping Seafood?
Of the what?
The musical band High Stepping Seafood.
Well...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast, broadcasting to you coast to coast from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia. Great to have you back, old listeners. Really great to have you here if you're a new listener. Go ahead and do me a favor. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Follow me there for all news and updates. We've got kind of a theme, so if you're a longtime listener, you'll kind of appreciate the last couple episodes, especially some of the stuff we have coming after today. If you're a new listener, I've got one thing to talk to you about. It's about our mission for this season. It's making freedom fun again. Economic freedom, you know, liberty as a whole, individual freedom. We want to make that fun, because when you could live your life, I could live my life, and we don't use the government as a violent middleman, I think we could go ahead and get along just fine. But recently, there's been kind of a growing trend amongst the left and amongst the right. It's this idea of, you know, what are the alternative facts? Is the surveillance state still there? What's really occupying not just our attention, but our minds? What's really going on with the self-anointed elite and so much more? And recently, I was going ahead and reading an article from a friend of mine at Fee. You know him as the one and only Robin Kerner, Liberty of Love, over at Liberty Talk FM. And he wrote a fantastic article called Be Wary of the Orwellian Enlightened Class. Just right there, that title should make you think, okay, where's he coming with this? Because obviously there's something that we're either not in the loop about, or there's something coming over the hill that we should probably be worried about. I could go ahead and ramble about this, but Robin's a lot smarter than me, and I thought, hey, let's go ahead and bring him on. So, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Robin Kerner. Robin, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back on.
Hey, it's good to be back with you. How you doing?
Doing great. So, the first thing I think of when I hear Orwellian Enlightened Class is, you know, I want to get my super male vitality, Alex Jones, InfoWars, New World Order binge out there. And I'm thinking Bohemian Grove. I'm thinking the globalist, you know, the Masons. I'm thinking of every, you know, top 1% secret, you know, Legion of Doom type of George Soros sorority, fraternity, whatever out there. So, Robin, kind of give us a little bit of the skinny on that article, if you could.
Yeah, and I get why you said that, and I should say an immediate response to that, that the title that Fee put on this is not the title I had for it originally.
Did they want to call it the New World Order?
No, they wanted to call it the Orwellian Enlightened Class that made you think about that stuff, and then put the image, that Illuminati image at the top of it, which was, they always make the articles nice, right? I mean, they do. I'm really grateful for you. I love having that as a platform. But that is not my shtick. There is nothing conspiratorial about this. In fact, this is in a way the opposite. It's about the fundamentals of human nature, of all human nature. And, you know, what I'm talking about is something that has been a problem everywhere and at all times, because it's rooted in human nature. And, you know, in the liberty movement, we think that it's about getting the right, about believing in the right things, right? We go and argue for our libertarianism, and because we believe in freedom, and we have like this systemized paradigm of freedom that we can expound, economic freedom, individual freedom, whatever. We think we've got the right system. Those guys over there have the wrong system, or the guys in power have the wrong system. And if only people would change the systems they believe in and work it toward, then we will have more liberty, right? That's kind of the assumption. And this article is about, no, it isn't about what you believe that determines whether you are going to be contributing to liberty versus tyranny. It's about how you believe whatever you believe in. And in this article, I'm talking about the fact that it doesn't matter how libertarian your system is in theory. If your epistemic commitment, so epistemology is the, you know, is the philosophy of knowledge and belief and how they are formed and justified. So if the if your epistemology is closed, if you know you found the right answers, you know, you became a libertarian and you found the right answers, and so you're basically done now. You basically have all of the answers, so you don't actually have to pay that much attention to people who aren't operating in your system, because you know they've got it fundamentally wrong. That's affecting their interpretations of their world and even their perceptions of the world, so you can basically dismiss them. And it is in dismissing people in that way and in their and dismissing their experiences and their fears that they may raise with us when we tell them about our libertarian utopia or whatever it may be. You can replace libertarian with socialist or social democratic. It doesn't matter, whatever you believe in.
It's this concept of superiority to a degree.
That's where it ends up, yeah. It's the notion of, since I'm right, I can discount everything that a priori I know isn't. And it's a massive tendency in human nature. But the problem is, that's what's caused tyranny. Throughout history, that's what it's based on. It's knowing that you're smarter than the next guy. You're a bit more enlightened. And you see it across different cultures. You saw it in the French Revolution. You saw it in the Russian Revolution. You've seen it at different times. But you're seeing it now. That's what the social justice warrior phenomenon is now. An equivalent phenomena in our history have required that, right? They've required a group of people knowing they know better. And so what I'm arguing for here is, if you actually want to live in a world, in a country of liberty, you've got to keep an open mind. You've got to allow that somebody may not like your liberty. And you've got to listen why. Because in so doing, you will find out what you're missing. And you're always missing something because you're human. You're always missing something. You're always incomplete. Your view is always incomplete. And I use an example from science. I talk about science versus scientism, right? So science is approximating the truth ever more closely, but always knowing you're not there and looking to falsify your belief. So that in falsifying where you are, you move one step closer to the truth. That's science. Now, scientism, which lots of folks do in politics, is I've got the current best system, right? And so I've got it, so I'm going to stop now. And they forget the epistemology of science, which is essentially humble. It's essentially knows that it is incomplete or even incorrect. And what I'm saying is, if we want liberty, we have to be a lot more like real science in our pursuit of politics, knowing we've never arrived, than like scientism, which throughout the ages has caused all kinds of problems. It is scientism and political scientism, this closed epistemic attitude in political sphere, is what is responsible for pretty much, if not all, the overwhelming majority of deaths that have happened because of tyranny.
Huh. Robin, I've got a couple questions about that, but first I need to give a special shout out to our sponsor this half hour. Folks, there are a lot of books that you could read. A lot of them, when it comes to libertarianism, it's either rehashing or retelling. But I've got something for you from a special friend of mine. He's an amazing writer over at the Libertarian Republic. He's currently running for public office, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is he has a new book coming out called The New Patriot Manifesto. It's The New Patriot Manifesto. It's essentially these age-old solutions when it comes to the realm of liberty applied to the things that involve what matter to millennials today. How do you feel about the surveillance state or corporations people? What about the gig economy? Does the Second Amendment still something that we need to be defending? He answers that and so much more in the New Patriot Manifesto. Go ahead and find it on Facebook and Amazon.com. You can get a digital copy on November 24th. That's The New Patriot Manifesto by Eli Bowman. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Rimso Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good. this show on the go by subscribing to the Rimzo Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Claire, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're going to continue our conversation from earlier. Robin, there's a part of your article that really kind of jumps out to me. And to kind of pull it out here, it's tyranny is not the result of a belief in a bad political theory. It is the result of a bad belief in political theory. And that is an entirely different thing. That kind of jumps out to me, and I was public schooled, so please I apologize up front if I get anything wrong, but you know, when it comes to just libertarians as a whole, I feel like when a lot of people are trying to, you know, bash in the heads of other people online, or even when I go out and I'm hanging out with my libertarian friends, and they turn into bullies almost when they talk to people that don't necessarily lockstep with them on everything. I wrote an article for Being Libertarian recently, and, you know, it was very simple because I'm simple-minded. It was called Making Freedom Fun Again. And ultimately, what I say is, listen, I want to live in a world with Democrats. I want to live in a world of Republicans. I want to live in a world of Muslims. I want to live in a world of atheists. Even though I'm a Christian libertarian, I think we need each other because ultimately, if we're just in a giant libertarian utopia, that doesn't lead to anything. There's no real competition. There's no real form of ideas. I think often we try and confuse what we want with what other people want in terms of creating this type of utopianism. And in terms that people understand, ultimately it's what you mentioned. It's pushing it on other people. It's forcing it on other people. It turns into a form of soft fascism. Am I kind of hitting it in the ballpark?
Well, yeah. And the important thing for libertarians with that is that you know, a lot of libertarians go, well, because my philosophy is one that is about non-imposition, right, I'm immune to that. Well, no, you're not, right? Because the fact is that if somebody is telling you they're on food stamps and they hear you about your libertarian world and they're terrified of what it would mean, let's say in the transition from where they are right now in welfare to this this world that you want to live in, and you say to them, yes, but it's good because because freedom. And they say, well, no, it isn't, because starvation. And then you dismiss their experience. You're actually doing totalitarianism, right? If you're not going to find a way to accommodate them and their humanity and their human experience in your worldview, then at best, it's incomplete. And that means that if you were impose it, I'll put impose in quotes there, right? That person, although you, in your mind, you're freeing the country, right? That person wouldn't experience it that way. And that person's experience, that person's fear, is data that we need to make sure that our version of liberty, and there are, let's be completely honest, as many versions of liberty as there are human beings.
It's like a Rorschach picture.
Right. And isn't everything, because, you know, we always bring meaning. When we talk about a complex system, we bring our meaning to it, right? The meaning doesn't just sit there independent of the person looking at it or interpreting it, right? So, you know, and that line that you pick out in the article, tyranny is not the result of belief in a bad political theory. It's the result of a bad belief in a political theory. And that's an entirely different thing. It is saying that. It's saying, once you start to condescend, once you think you're basically superior, either intellectually or morally, because you found this system that other people don't, haven't found, and maybe your system in theory is more consistent. Maybe it is more all-embracing. Maybe it is more morally mature, but it will not be perfect. So if you stop at that point with this bad belief, meaning I've got it, and that means there isn't really a responsibility on me anymore to improve it. In other words, to accommodate the experiences of other human beings who I will share this world with, libertarian or otherwise, then you become the tyrant.
So, Robin, I just got to jump in real fast. You know, I do believe in absolute truth. I totally get where you're coming from this, but
so I
believe in absolute truth.
So do I.
But where's the line between, you know, condescending and putting someone's mistakes down and just calling out a bad idea?
Well, no, what I'm talking about here is, I'm not talking about communication. Obviously, I'm like the political communication guy, and most of the time I'm talking about that. But this precedes that. I'm now talking about your attitude. Is your attitude one of science or scientism? Is it that I have, you know, maybe the best understanding right now, but it's going to be better tomorrow, and it's going to be better tomorrow because I'm going to be genuinely mentally open to data, and I am going to start from knowing that I am somewhat wrong, right? Or are you going, I've got the best thing, it's better than everybody else's, so basically the best thing I can do is close my mind to where everybody else is at and start forcing the world and forcing them into my worldview, or forcing my worldview on the world. Libertarians do the latter as much as other people, which, by the way, is why a lot of people feel that these folks who keep talking at them about the non-aggression principle are really quite aggressive. Well, how is that? How is that even possible? We've got to be libertarian about our libertarianism too. It's called being doxastically open. Now, you talk about absolute truth. I also believe in absolute truth. 2 + 2 = 4. There may also be moral absolutes, but that does not mean that you, as a finite human being with a finite mind, with a very limited range of experience that does not accommodate in any way the near infinity of experience of that billions of other human beings that have had experiences nothing like you've had, right? And they have different data that maybe you will die never having, right? Just because you believe in absolute truth does not mean that you have access to it. That's the difference. And you may be really close to it, but the thing about large systems, intellectual systems, whether it be political or scientific, is just one change at the margin can completely change the implied meta-reality, the most fundamental truths that the system implies. So I use the example of quantum physics versus, you know, materialism, right? Everything used to be, people used to think everything was deterministic and basically mechanistic. And then we have quantum mechanics. Now we know that's all wrong. But it was just like one or two experiments that took us from one world into a completely different world. And people were building whole intellectual and even political systems based on the mechanistic view of the universe. And it was wrong. It was the best thing we had by a mile for centuries, but it was still wrong. And I'm just saying, we need that intellectual humility. And there's kind of an irony in it. By knowing that you're wrong, that you're finite, that there may be absolute truth, but that does not translate to your a priori claim to being able to access it. By being humble you become more persuasive. By knowing more about your limits, other people will be more inclined to follow you with respect to what you do know. And I just want to see more of that because I need us to win. Right?
We start winning at something.
Yeah. And a bit of humility will go a long way.
Exactly. Robin, we're going to cut to our commercial break about a minute early. Folks, the conversation continues right after this. You're listening to the Remser Republic with special guest Robin Kerner.
Hey, it's Jen Gray with the Leading Liberty Podcast, and you're listening to Remso Republic.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with a hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with like tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Well, hello again, America. It's me, Jeff Sessions, and I just thought that I would update you on what we in the Justice Department are doing for you. First off, we just passed a law that allows us to just have a little look-see, and you know, in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C., to ensure that the Metro Rail system is safe. Now, I know you're thinking this goes against not just the intent, but the actual wording of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, but that's only because you're reading it in English. You gotta squint your eyes and look at it in like an ancient Sumerian text in the super secret part of the Constitution that we don't let you public read. So until next time, America, we're gonna keep you safe. Not free, safe.
Because that's what really matters.
We'll be right back.
our final segment. Robin, I'm just curious. You spoke about intellectual humility earlier. I've been pretty unpopular recently because I've actually been saying some nice things about Donald Trump. It's really weird. I really don't like, I hate candidate 2016 Trump, but when it comes to President Trump, I find myself rooting for him a lot more often than I ever anticipated. And when it comes to him, I mean, we see a world leader who just came in and he's like, I've got all the answers. I know everything. I can fix everything. And now we've got a president where he's like, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to talk to people. And for the most part, I'm like, yeah, he's just trying to butter up the press. But then he goes and he talks to people like Justin Trudeau. And what does Trudeau say about Trump? Trump will listen to you. Trump will assess things. Trump will give you an honest answer. That shocked me because I did not think that Justin Trudeau, of all people, would be getting along with Donald Trump. I mean, Trudeau's basically the white Obama. I just didn't see that, you know, bromance sprouting out at all. So just curious from, you know, like, a, you know, just a current event standpoint, do you think Donald Trump, as president, has intellectual humility?
As per the first chapter of my book, right, to know the answers to these questions about people, you've got to know the people. So my first answer is what it would usually be to such a question, which is, I don't know. But I've got to say that based on what he puts out, I don't think he does, no. But you see, there's different flavors of it, isn't there?
It's like everything else. It's a Rorschach, and there's no more of a Rorschach person in the world right now than Donald Trump.
Right, indeed. Now, you see, and so let me tell you why I said no, because I take your point as well. I said no because I don't think you can make the kind of public pronouncements that he makes that are sweeping, that are personal, that are often condescending, if he is someone who actually cares about what he doesn't know. If you care about what you don't know, then you don't go around putting people down, making huge generalizations that are hard to defend, et cetera, making things that the next day everybody can see was just basically incorrect. You're more careful. You're more intellectually cautious than Trump is, when I think of intellectual humility. Now, that does not, though, but I say I don't know because... Exactly, because I said at the beginning, I'm not in the room, right? I put a lot of store by folks who are in the room with the person or the event that they're talking about. Because all we get to do is join up some dots, publicly put out dots by a guy who's rather good at putting things out in the public, right? To have a certain effect, which he clearly is, right? I don't know the extent to which this guy is a blustering person who isn't intellectually humble, or he goes into the room where intellectual humility means having an open mind and learning something. And maybe he does have an open mind and learn something. And this other thing is, you know, what we see is political strategy. I just don't know. And I guess what I'm talking about with intellectual humility is all of us looking have to spend a lot more time realizing we don't know. You know, let's not draw any dots, draw the lines between dots. You know what I mean? If we don't have to.
Definitely. And if there's one thing I don't know is that there's a lot about life I don't know. But for folks listening, because we've got to wrap up the program, Robin, for those that don't know how they could get your awesome book and listen to your show and everything else, how could they do so? So that way they know a little bit more.
Okay, so the book. The best way to get the book is to go to ifyoucankeepit.us. If you buy a copy of If You Can Keep It at ifyoucankeepit.us, I will personally sign and send it to you. It's also on Amazon, but that ain't as good. So that's where I recommend
it. Get the signed one, folks.
Get the signed one, absolutely. That people can follow my writing on FEE, Foundation for Economic Education, FEE.org. Now, also, I've got a whole new thing I'm launching, robinkerner.com. That's RobinKerner.com. And if you read the very little bit of text on that page, you will see what it's about and what I'm doing next. Apart from that, follow me on Twitter, RKOERNER. And for the my show and stuff and my videos. I'm doing the occasional YouTube vignette now. You can find me on YouTube. I think that do a search on Robin Kerner, Art of Political Persuasion.
You know how the internet works, folks. You'll find them.
You'll find it. That's right.
Robin, you're always a delight to have on the show, and I always feel a little bit stupid in the room with you, but at the same time, I'm always so much smarter after listening to you. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. Greatly appreciate it.
You are very kind. Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure as always.
Folks, gonna wrap things up. Go ahead and check out everything Robin does. You know, I remember reading his original Blue Republican article years back, and it's definitely helped me really, you know, confront my own worldview, how I communicate with others, and how I build bridges. Because if freedom is fun, then it should be free with everyone. It should be fun for everyone, and we should go ahead and promote that. But what's one thing you could do? Leave us a rating and review on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, or find the app or network of your choice at www.remsorepublic.com/podcast, and we lay it out for you a la carte. As always, I'm your host, Remso W. Martinez. Tune in next week. We've got more awesome stuff coming your way. Be good to your neighbor. Go out and treat yourself a bit, and, you know, be good to yourself, America. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for? No, I don't want to lose control.